Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Amen. Our God is alive. Mohammed, Confucius, all those guys are gone. Jesus is alive today. Amen. I wanted to say that when my nephew, he's the guy in the green shirt, when he introduced himself, he didn't give his full name, so I'll give it to you. Zion Truth Zelotic. Is that cool or what? His sister, my niece, her name is Grayson Truth, like he was full of grace and truth. Cool, huh? Amen. Well, I want to tell you something today. I've got a few words for you. And one of my favorite interactions in the Bible is a time that happened between Jesus and the Jews. And he was talking to them, and they were talking about how they were descended from Abraham and all that. And he was trying to tell them and get them to understand that just being an heir of an earthly man doesn't really translate into anything. It took something miraculous and spiritual to set us free from sin. So he's trying to get this through their heads, and he said something to them that went like this. If you hold on to my teachings, then you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How many of you have ever heard of the IKEA effect? You know? It's a big moneymaker for Sweden, that IKEA is, you know. Great idea. Some people do anything. But I like to buy my furniture intact, you know. Anyway, whatever. It's okay. Whatever floats your boat. But the IKEA effect is basically the idea that people value things they build themselves more than things that were built for them. So someone who builds a table or a chair or whatever it is, they tend to place more beauty and value than is actually there. And it isn't a problem until it's time to sell the house because they overprice the house over market value because they have inflated the value of the things they built inside the house or outside the house and attach it to the market price. So let's say they built a retaining wall. They'll look at the retaining wall and say, well, I have to ask this amount because, man, that retaining wall is worth 20 grand by itself. And it works in both ways because the prospective buyers will come in and they'll say, well, I don't know if I want to spend this much for the house because I also have to factor the time and effort it's going to take for me to tear out that ugly retaining wall. When the earth was without form and void, God had a plan and he had a vision of what could be. And he began to speak. And how many of you know that God does everything decently and in order? So the first thing he did was turn on the lights. Isn't that the first thing you do when you walk into a room? You're going to get some work done. So he said, let there be light, and there was light. By the power of his word, he made light happen out of nothing. Phone call. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And he made it happen by his word. Do you know, folks, that God's word doesn't simply describe your reality. It makes your reality. And so God began to do everything decently and in order, and he made everything. He didn't make the fish and then the water. He made the water, then the fish. And he made this world, and he spoke it into existence. The things that we see and touch, the things that we feel, everything was made by the word of God. But when it came time to make a person, he did it differently. He made us with his hands. He took his time, and he digged into the earth and formed and made a man and breathed into him the breath of life. How many of you know that the minerals that are in your body are also in the earth? Zinc, copper, iron. God did that. He reached into the earth and made you. He was invested. He took his time. There are some things that can only be done slowly and a certain way. There is a specific process and formula to reach the desired outcome. There's a description in the Bible about some men, and what it says about them is this, that these men were always learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Don't you think it's interesting the wording used? Coming to a knowledge of the truth. It seems to me that the only way to have knowledge and to have the truth that makes us free is to come to it. This is something that has to be realized by each and every one of us. Because if it isn't, it's just learning. Like multiplication tables or the capitals of the states or something like that. There's something so precious. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus said, come unto me. No, you come unto me. When Jesus was trying to impart knowledge and truth to the people he was talking to, the method he used was parables and stories. He used metaphors. Why didn't he just get himself a chalkboard or something like that and just write it out or speak it out and give them item by item what they needed to know? Why didn't he just tell them what the kingdom of God was? Why didn't he just tell them what the kingdom of heaven was? But he used stories and parables, and he used mysteries, and there were things that were hidden inside of the stories, and he gave them clues. Why did he do that? Because he wanted them to come to a knowledge of the truth. There's something about the way that he would work it, and he would provoke thought. He would spark curiosity. He would attempt to ignite a flame inside of their heart and mind to get them to come to it themselves. You will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Every piece of knowledge, every bit of understanding, every truth that is that is obtained and is acquired is like a piece of a puzzle. If you're putting a puzzle together and you've got this, you know, this big empty space, and there's all these pieces that somehow are going to make this, put this beautiful picture in where the empty space used to be. And you begin to put the puzzle pieces in, and it's difficult, but you begin to find the ones that fit, the ones that are coherent, the ones that work inside of that picture. And with every piece that you place in correctly, the next piece becomes easier because of the pieces already in place. This is a process. We don't just get to take a shortcut and just, you know, be these amazing spiritual Einsteins. There is a process, and when we understand that we need to understand, when we know that we need to know, the process begins, and we begin to be set free by the knowledge of the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, there's an interesting, this whole chapter is really interesting. And I want to read a little bit of it with you. 1 Corinthians 2. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, this is Paul talking, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this world or of the rulers of this world who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this world understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These things have been prepared for us to come into. In this chapter, Paul says that there was hidden knowledge that God hid and he had planned before the world began. That if the rulers of this world had known it, if it hadn't been hidden, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Knowledge is power, folks. And it makes a big difference in your life. It makes all the difference in whether you reach your potential or not. And it's interesting to me, as I was reading that chapter, that there was a parallel between that, what he wrote up there, and the Garden of Eden. This thing is a process, and it takes time, because that's the only way that it can be appreciated, valued, and really believed, really known. When the serpent was tempting the woman in the garden, what he said was, God is hiding knowledge from you. Do you want to know or not? I'm telling you, there's knowledge up in that tree. Now, you can go ahead and do it God's way, or you can go it the easy way and take the shortcut. Here, bite this apple, and you'll know immediately what I'm talking about. Just do an end around God. Take the shortcut. It was the temptation of hidden knowledge and taking the shortcut that got him and Adam, that got her and Adam, kicked out of paradise. But it was hidden knowledge that God had planned from the beginning, before time even began, actually, that brought us all back into paradise. Remember what Jesus said on the cross to the thief. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You see the parallel? Do you see what I'm saying? That what in part got them out of paradise, hidden knowledge also got us back into paradise. Because if they had known, if they hadn't been hidden, he wouldn't have been on the cross. There's a temptation in everybody's life, I think, because of our desire for comfort, to kind of live life unconsciously, on autopilot, you know. It's easy to do because our lives are kind of the same. You know, we do the same thing every day. We've got to live. But our lives are like Groundhog Day every day. But they're just different enough. There's just enough mystery that something different might happen to keep us that way. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's all these zombie movies everywhere. Zombie movies, zombie TV shows, zombie video games, which ironically turn people into... I like video games, but there's zombie video games, and there's zombie podcasts and music about zombies. It's my theory about it is that part of the reason people are obsessed with zombies is because they can relate. And there's something that resonates, and it's also, I think, this unexpressed fear of the unthinking masses and what they might do to them if things get ugly, you know. Anyway, okay, I'll stop playing psychologist. But there is a temptation because it's so easy to do that. It's just, you know, it's mediocrity is so nice sometimes. Being comfortable, the familiar is so nice. You know the reason that McDonald's has sold over $50 billion or whatever they have? It's because they perfected mediocrity. When you go to McDonald's, you know it's not going to be good. But it's not going to be bad either. It's just going to be all right. Hey, let's go to McDonald's. It'll be all right. It's okay. But there's a temptation to live our lives in like this unconscious state almost. We have brain functionality, and that's it. It doesn't go any further than that, baby. And it's just, lukewarm. It's lukewarm. Another aspect of this, I'm not just talking about understanding the things of God, becoming wise and knowledgeable about the truths in God's word and in his character and all that. That's not the totality of what I mean. But Peter said this, that we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. And it would have been interesting to see what would have happened to Adam and Eve if they had done that instead. If they had taken the time to learn from God in the cool of the day when he walked and talked with them instead of trying to take the shortcut end around. I think that there is this idea out there, and I agree with it. But boy, I hope I'm not saying something controversial. I don't think so, anyway. Not here. That God loves everybody. I believe that. I believe he loves everyone. I don't think there's a person on earth that he does not love madly. I also believe that the blood of Jesus is not discriminatory. I believe it covers everybody. I don't believe that God plays favorites. I don't think he's a respecter of persons. But I do believe that there are levels of relationship with God and closeness. I don't mean proximity because we know that his spirit fills the universe, but I mean in a relationship manner. John, when he was, I think he was talking about himself, so maybe he just saw it this way, but he said, he described himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, was he saying that Jesus loved him and nobody else? I don't think so. I think what he was talking about was closeness, and there may have been a closeness with Jesus during his ministry that John had that no one else had. I think that is possible. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you know the difference between liberty and freedom? They're both good. But liberty I would put in the category of necessary but not sufficient. Liberty means that you are no longer bound. Freedom is liberty plus one. It means that you are no longer bound, but you are also equipped. It is liberty plus power. Liberty plus knowing. Liberty is Peter in the Bible being set free from fear. So he is associated with Jesus of Nazareth, he no longer says, I swear to you, I don't know that guy. I'm not associated with him. But he also says, not only am I associated with that guy, but I can tell you how you can be too. Liberty plus power. What shall we do? Well, I can tell you. I've got the power to tell you what to do. We move from glory to glory. From liberty, in other words, we are set free from the debt of sin. We don't have that anymore. He has taken our sins away. That's liberty. We're not under the burden anymore. Freedom is not only being set free from the sins that we had, but having his righteousness added to us. Freedom is being called a child of the King. Freedom is being filled with the Spirit. Freedom is liberty plus power. Liberty plus knowing. Liberty plus equipment. And being able to give an answer to every man. We are different, those of us who know him. We are different from others. We don't get our joy from outside in. We get our joy from inside out. So the things that people buy, the new Jeeps and the new ATVs and all that, it's fine. It's fine, but I guess it's the motive I'm talking about. Those things, when someone understands that they are loved unconditionally, that they are accepted by his grace, when they have that understood and they have that relationship with the Almighty, all of those things that people go out and buy are like salt on top of the beautiful cuisine that they're going to eat. It's just an added thing. It should, But those things are the periphery and always should be. Our joy, our hope, our confidence is centered in Jesus Christ. Amen. And well, it should be. I have confidence in whom I have believed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.